Life should be like a tree, where you have roots, and you have and you grow your arms, and then you bear fruits. You realize yourself through the expansion of the arms and through the strengthening of your roots. So this is a eudaimonia. It's this type of happiness. Through that, it means that we need to have this certain type of beauty that is not just, let's say, cover girl.
Can you describe for our listeners a little bit more about what you're like, what Divinus is today, so that everybody has a better understanding, because it's not simply Divinus from what I see.
Yeah, but the Divinus Group is a company that at this 40 year anniversary has worked with has around 850 people working on it in 90 countries. And there is a beauty company that focuses on professional hair and skincare with Divinus hair care and Comfort Zone skincare. We have we work with around 50,000, I think, of the best salons in the world. And through these 50,000 salons, we touch millions of consumers that are in line with our values, our principles, and also the quality of our products. Because I think one of the reasons why Divinus is doing okay at the moment is that we have a good balance between the performance of the product and the sustainability footprint of it. Because we are not interested in just coming out with a formula that is super performant, but with a bad footprint, or vice versa. When we come out with an incredibly sustainable formula, but they don't perform, the market doesn't reward it. So we have to work on both aspects at the same time. And our lab knows that. We have around 50 chemists. We have 7 different labs. We also have created a green chemistry lab with PhDs, pharmacognosists, cosmetologists in there. So
where are your labs? Are they
all here? All in the Divinus village in Parma, Italy. It's a Divinus village that also has a European regenerative organic center from Rodale Institute. It's a US institute that has 80 years of experience in regenerative organic agricultural practices. So for us now to go to the step level of sustainability, it's all about supply chain bottlenecks, and we have to work on these bottlenecks, and we have to basically recreate the supply chain from raw materials perspective, but also from a packaging perspective. So that's our next challenge, and that's the excitement of it. My story is very different, but I think that also my passion for sustainability started from this aesthetic angle. First, through my infantry, when I was a child, I was going to visit my parents, my grandfathers in the countryside, because they were farmers. So memories
in Parma.
Yeah, close to Sabbioneta. It's in a farming house. So all my memories of childhood in the farm, I think, shape a certain sensibility, and also my passion for design and architecture also, I think, allowed me to enter more into this world. And then, of course, as a chemist, I started to embrace that sensibility and make it now the purpose of the company.
Well, I think it's interesting. I think that, I mean, I think Divinus has, am I pronouncing it correctly, Divinus?
Yes, Divinus, yes.
I think it's become one of those brands that has really a cult following because of what, like, you know, like when people say Divinus, like that's the one that people are like, it has a really nice cult following. because it kind of just directly, it started from the very beginning with such a sustainable approach.
Yeah, it started, this is a special year for the company, 40, we turned 40. My parents started in March 83. So now we are in 23, that makes it 40. The first 10 years was contract packaging. We were manufacturing products for all the different companies, especially on still on the salon industry, the salon business, and the spa business. And then when I joined in the 90s, yes, I started immediately to, first of all, I made a decision to stop contract packaging and to work on the brand, because I thought it was to have the possibility to build a brand gave me a little bit more sense of a perspective and long term, and that's what we did. This idea at the beginning was instinctive, not very structured, and then more and more in 2005 we added sustainable beauty under the brand at Aviness, and then we became a B Corp, and in 2016. And we started to bring the culture of measurement in the company. So now we measure everything we do. And so we became kind of passionate and also, experts is a big, it's too much of a big word, but let's say passionate and dedicated to sustainability. And so now we enjoy very much every 3 years to gain more points on the B Corp. We are award honorees for the environment. So it's already difficult to become a B Corp. And the word honor is you are the top 5%, I think, of all the B Corps. Mm-hmm. So it became really our reason to be in the company. And with these three words, beauty, ethics, and sustainability, all together creating a way of doing things that it's our mission.
So that these three words, these beauty, ethics, and sustainability, that you were, just so I understand clearly, you know, you started within packaging and then you switched into product, and this focus on sustainability didn't happen. Well, it happened in the 90s, you were saying, but it was really formalized in 2015. Is that correct?
Yeah. It was contract packaging. The first 10 years, we were manufacturing products for other people.
Right.
Then in 2005.
2005, sorry.
2005, we became the sustainable beauty company. That was our claim. And then years after years, we learn what it means, what it takes to become more sustainable. And we got to the point that now, being part of a B Corp, actually we are one of the founders of the B Corp Beauty Coalition, that now has 72 beauty companies, all B Corp, that work on different topics like green logistics, sustainable supply chain of raw material.
Mm-hmm.
Packaging.
Are all these B Corps, are these 72 companies Italian or are they international?
No, international. Of course, international. Yeah, B Corps are like more than 150 countries, B Corps.
You know, I've lived in Italy for quite some time. I grew up with Italian parents and grandparents. And one of the things that I find very much part of the Italian DNA is an innate sense of sustainability. Almost sometimes, you know, I see it a lot in food. You know, there is a no waste mentality, you know, when you're with cooking, for example, using the moliche the next day and this and that. And I think it's it's a natural Italian quality to be, let's say, more predisposed to sustainability, whether intentional or not. And I wanted to know what you think about that. If you think it's, go for it.
Well, there are different reasons. First of all, don't forget Italy lost the Second World War and somebody else won it. So I'm saying this because in the 40s, in the 50s, 99% of Italians were poor. My parents were very humble it was this scarcity was there. You know, we came out in pretty bad shape after the Second World War, And so people were very careful in not to waste food because there was not much. If people that were living in the countryside, they had more food than people living in the cities. But definitely the previous generation, my parents' generation, my grandfather's generation, they work in a world where the saving or not wasting was really a culture. So it was not about it was not because of sustainability principle. It was because of scarcity principle. So when you are a scarcity mentality, you don't waste. And now, after 50 years, maybe we have a better bank account. The average Italian has a better bank account than 50 years ago. But now we are in a different world, in a different type of scarcity. Scarcity of natural resources. So there are other reasons. Now, thank God for the moment, we've been already 70 years without a war. Hopefully we want to continue like that, even though it seems more and more complicated considering how the world is going. So sustainability comes from this. And also because Italy as a country doesn't have much natural resources also. Now we are a small country, quite populated. And so we are, we like to transform. And because of that, and also lots of biodiversity, it's a matter of quantities of things. It's a matter of biodiversity. And so that's why I think that Italians have that, at the moment, they have that type of approach with food and with sustainability in general.
Actually, you bring up something really interesting is I think what a lot of people, well, I don't know if everybody thinks about where their product, like where their beauty products, we think about sustainability. We think when we're buying beauty products, we're thinking about that a lot more, but I don't know if we actually think about where it physically comes from. And I know that, and you mentioned this earlier, that architecture is really important for you. I know that Davina's Village was designed by Matteo Thun. Can you tell me a little bit about what that is? And I mean, I'm fascinated. I didn't realize there were 7 labs on there. I knew a little bit about the regenerative agriculture, and I'd love to learn more.
Yeah. 5 years ago, after 10 years of thinking, visiting, I went to visit, I don't know how many beauty companies, how many gardens in the world. I've discovered so many beautiful places. And then after all this research, because I like to research, I love to explore. I like to learn every day, and I think this is like a good engine that is the curiosity is a good engine for all of us. Then at one point I said, okay, now I think I have it clear enough. We did a lot of projects for the village. We asked many architects to propose maybe 10 different projects. And then at one point, after all, we received all those projects, we appointed Matteo Thun as the architect to do it. And so we had a very good interaction. We had plenty of ideas, Matteo as well, because he's a great architect and he has that sensibility for sustainable architecture and beautiful architecture. And so we started this interaction and we came out with this Davina's Village that, I don't know, I have to say that I feel quite proud about this achievement. It's a big word, but we love to come to work in the Davina's Village. It's a great house of sustainable beauty, surrounded by green. There is every single person that works at the village is surrounded by nature, by green, and there are squares, a sense of community. So. Sense of community is enhanced. Aesthetic sensibility is enhanced. We have a botanical garden in front of the lab, so our chemists are reminded every day what we want them to do, and so that's it's a great place for learning, great place for inspiration. Of course, the center of the village is the bistro, our restaurant. It's our canteen, In the middle of the day, of course, from 12 to 2, everybody meets to have a nice meal together, like a big family, big community. And then before and after, it's a co-working space. It becomes a space to meet colleagues and to do meetings. Yeah, it's every day you have people coming from different worlds. Today, I have guests from Chicago and from Indianapolis. Last week, we had people from Istanbul, people from São Paulo, Brazil.
Are the people that are visiting, are they colleagues? Are they working with in the same field? Or is this something, you know, I was fascinated when I saw Divina's World. I was like, this is the most beautiful space I've seen. It's humongous, first of all. It has what looks like huge greenhouses all over. And then the gardens look amazing. And then I saw something that I thought was really cool, which was your arboretum. With the trees and the symbolic plantings. And I just was like, I want to come visit. So my question for you, is this something that anyone could come visit? Can they write to your offices, or is this very much just for the professionals within the industry?
No, we have many occasions also for visits of people that are not from the industry. We call open, we have an open door policy or open door initiatives. So we have a hospitality department that receive guests since the beginning of the, and also we do education. We have academies, a training center here. So since the beginning of the opening of this village, if you take away, of course, the COVID period, we have around 1,000 visitors a month. In fact, we have this is the flow, and we have a majority from the beauty industry, but we have also, I don't know, the club of engineers, of the architects, or maybe the Rotary Club, or maybe some students from a university, or the housewives club. I don't know of the so, or different entrepreneurs, different groups coming, and and this open door policy is very, very important.
Very cool. Davide, I wanted to ask you, you know, your family's been in this industry for 40 years, and then in particular focusing on making your own products since the early 2000s. I think this question's unfair, but I want to ask you about the future for Davide. What are you thinking about the future of beauty, and sustainability, or just the future of Davinis?
The future of Davinis, the future of beauty, the future of Davinis is depends on a certain way of to look at the world that we have. And this is our contribution to the beauty industry. This is a sustainable growth. Davinis is a company that is a 100% family business. We are not in the stock exchange. We don't have other investors. So we are a stakeholder-driven company. We are not a shareholder-driven company. And the stakeholder-driven, it means that 50 years ago, I was with my friend before from Chicago. In Chicago, 50 years ago, Milton Friedman, an economist, came up with a statement saying that the business of business is business. So the only the only purpose of a company is to maximize return on the shareholder. And so there, you know, as long as you are you follow the laws, the purpose of an organization is to make to as much profit as possible for the shareholder. That was, you know, Milton Friedman 50 years ago. I think he even got a Nobel Prize of Economy for that. After 50 years, the world is totally changed. At that time, 50 years ago, it was happy days, right? So it was this America, happy days, Saturday Night Fever, the American dream. Amazing. I still, you know, that I had a dream of America. Now, 50 years after, the world has changed a lot. I'm not saying that there are not any more happy days, But let's say they are a little bit more complicated days at the moment because the humans are inhabiting the planet. We are becoming a lot. And the more we grow as a population, as a demography, and the more our little blue planet is challenged. So now economy has to change. So the Davines in the beauty industry wants to represent a new breed of companies that are stakeholder driven, that have the purpose to do the best for the world, like any other B Corp. And in our beauty industry also, we want to present a type of beauty that is not a superficial beauty, that it's a type of beauty that is beauty from the inside out. In Davines, discarta etica because we have also ethics, no? As part of our purpose, beauty, ethics, and sustainability. You know, in ethics, there was an Aristotelian principle that is called eudaimonia, which is live a life that is worth to be lived through self-realization, through, let's say, flourishing. You know, life it should be like a tree where you have roots and you have and you grow your arms and then you bear fruits and you realize yourself through the expansion of the arms and through the strengthening of your roots. So this is a eudaimonia. It's this type of happiness, what we call also happiness that we're looking for. And through that, it means that we need to have this certain type of beauty that is not just a cover girl beauty, but it's a beauty, again, from the inside out. And it's a beauty that comes also from the how, not only the end result. So, because we know there are different types of beauty, even the beauty industry, we know it well. So we want to represent a certain way of accepting our journey, accepting our condition, so that's the role that we want to play. Without extraordinary finance, without shortcuts, without acceleration, beauty, you know, beauty salon first, strengthening our community.
Do you think, with that internal component that you're talking about, do you think in the future that there will be, that Davines will do something more on that working on oneself, whether it's through seminars or things like that? Have you guys ever thought about that?
Yeah, we have already a lot of thousands of education and learning moments. Mm-hmm. For example, here on the region, we have November is our regeneration month. We have five incredible appointments. Really, really, I'm looking forward to these five appointments. November 1st with a Prime Minister of Bhutan candidate. You know, Bhutan is the world of happiness, the country of gross national happiness. So I'm going to have a chat on November 1st with Tsering Togbay, candidate Prime Minister for the next elections, on climate change and happiness. Then we have David Katz from Plastic Bank. We work with Plastic Bank, and we collect 100% of every single product that come out from our factory. We collect it as a beach plastic or social plastic from Brazil, Indonesia, Philippines. Last year, we collected 750 tons of plastic in the environment on these three countries. We are the only company that through Plastic Bank does 100% of our output. And we have a dialogue with David Katz. Michael Spence, Nobel Prize of Economy. We are going to talk about the age of ecological convergence because you have, you know, the big debate between all the emerging economies and already emerging economies on the transition to carbon neutrality.
Are these talks available for anyone to see? Could we stream them? Could someone come in?
Sure.
Okay.
They are. This is for our community. Mm-hmm. We also open it to the B Corp community. It's in our intranet. Actually, I don't know if we are opening to all our community, but we should. I'm going to check it.
I mean, I think that would be fascinating. I'm just taking a look. I didn't know about the collaboration with Plastic Bank. I'm just looking right now at Plastic Bank's website, and I see it says Davines and Comfort Zone and the Davines Group. So I find this really fascinating. So how long have you been in a partnership with them? It's been since 2021.
Yeah, we calculated the plastic leakage of our company. It's between 10% and 15%, especially all our sales in Latin America and Southeast Asia, some countries don't have a proper end of life system for products. So when you go around the Philippines or Brazil or even China or Indonesia, you realize that waste is a problem. So in these countries, through social plastic collectors, $1 per kilo, we allow many families to learn to get, I'm sorry, to make money and to come out from poverty. And in the same time, we have a plastic positive impact on the environment.
So for if I understand correctly, for the plastic that you output, you're collecting the same exact amount. Is that what the plastic? Okay.
Or
even more.
10 times more. Let's say last year, because of plastic, sorry to say, but now we have a goal to go 100% virgin plastic free. At the moment, we are 35%. I mean, we are 65% virgin plastic free, but we want to go in 3 years, we will go to 85%. And then we eventually want to reach 100% virgin plastic free. So to go more circularity, because we have the pillars of our sustainability is decarbonization, circularity, biodiversity, and water. These are the four pillars. On top of this, we work on many, many different projects. And at the moment, we are becoming much more and more activists. We have more and more activation days, because that is what makes the difference when we are actively involved. For example, we were with our Latin American community in a mangrove farm 2 weeks ago. We're like 250 people of us. We even symbolically planted one mangrove each, but that was not the point. The point is to really learn about mangrove ecosystem, animals, humans, and nature living together in an ecosystem that is much, very, very much carbon sink, a carbon sink opportunity. So the more we learn, and the more we become naturally activist, and that's the stage we are in. Going back to plastic, last year 750 tons of plastic came out from this company in 90 countries. We made a calculation of plastic leakage is between 10% and 15%. So probably, unfortunately, maybe out of these 750 tons, let's say 100 tons went wrong.
Okay.
Last year, we collected 750 tons going wrong. So if every company would do like we do, because the others, plastic is recycling or incineration. So in the majority of, let's say, developed economies, at the end of life, plastic goes where it has to go, either on recycling or either on incineration or recreate energy. But in some economies, they go on the rivers, they go on oceans. So we work on this one. And if other companies will do like us, you will not find a piece of plastic on a river or on an ocean.
I completely understand. And I'm really glad that we're having this conversation, because I hope a lot of people listen to this. So we start helping continue what you're doing as well, and get other.
By the way, By the way, the last one, last speaker of Regeneration Month is this Alessio Terzi. He's a Harvard professor, Harvard Business School. Business schools are the one that are, teaching economy. And uh-huh. Alessio Terzi just wrote a book called Growth for Good. So
Growth for Good.
We are into growth. We like to grow as Davines, but we don't want to grow for the sake of growth. We want to grow for good. We want only sustainable growth. And so when American business schools start to talk about this type of growth, it means that something is changing, because these are the ones that are shaping the thinking process 50 years after Milton Keynes.
It's so, I've always loved Davines. I didn't realize that I have a lot more reasons to love it. So thank you. I'm so happy that you took the time to talk with me about this.
It's a pleasure. I really appreciate your aesthetic eye. I'm an aesthetic person, and I am, I don't know, I think sustainable beauty can save the world, should save the world, let's say.